Welcome everyone to the Winchester Redevelopment Commission meeting for January 2017. Let's go ahead and do the Pledge of Allegiance, flag over the corner.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And since it's been a couple of months since we've met, I'm going to go ahead and read our mission statement. The Winchester Redevelopment Commission wishes to use the powers granted to it per the Indiana Code to investigate, survey, and study areas within the city that need redevelopment. Furthermore, the commission shall use its powers in the capacity that promotes the acquisition, disposition, demolition, remediation, repair, maintenance, redevelopment, and further improvement for the purposes of advancing economic development and quality of life for residents of the city of Winchester. Okay, so that's our charge. Do we need to have a, do we keep going with our officers, or do we need to have a...
I think on the agenda, there's number three, it says organizational. Go ahead and do it now if you'd like.
No, okay, my bad. I didn't look down that far.
Number three is Michael.
Let's go ahead and go to accounts payable vouchers and approval for Vicki's sake. She needs a vouchers.
All right. The end of 2016, we ended up with ending balances, and that's always a good thing. If you remember, we had Umball give a projection to us, and let's look at the comparison of estimated annual tax increment. The one I just made you the copy of, it looks like this. You see it? Okay, it's highlighted. Okay. In 2016, what I was concerned about, I looked at the last column, next to the last column, estimated cumulative balance. The projection was $281,350 would be our ending year end. And if you'll see when I gave you the year-end report that was dated December 31st, 2016, that's this report right here, the large one that I think has 35 pages on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That one. Uh-huh. Okay. Are we there?
It's okay. The first page of that one.
Yes, the very first page. Yeah, we're not going to go all through it. The estimated balance that was projected by UMBO was $281,350 for the year end in cash in the cumulative balance. Our actual cumulative balance was $262,758.78 for a difference of a little bit of a shortfall of $18,591.22. And as you can tell, if you'll look back, we'll kind of bounce a little bit real quick here. This comparison, if you'll look under the column, if you'll look under year payable 2016, follow it all the way across, in the second column, estimated wind turbine revenues, $120,000. The receipts in the wind turbines were $99,777.78. So back to where I think that $18,000 projection that we thought we were going to have, the $281,000, it was because of the shortfall of the wind turbine revenues. So I think you would all agree with me on that. So I think that the projection that UMBO made and the one that we actually ended up with was very, very similar.
Last fall we were talking about overages with the Greenville Avenue project of about $114,000.
Correct.
So how'd that get paid?
Well, it got paid through the East U.S. 27 TIF is the way.
So that's so we did much better.
Yeah.
It wasn't a frown. It's much better than their estimate because this didn't include the overage, right?
No.
So when we also add in another $114,000, we have an extra $114,000 or $199,000. I guess it's just $99,000 better than we expected.
Well, no. You can't. I thought I made a notation on there, but I guess it didn't. If you look at the last two funds, look at the December 31st, 2016. follow this down, this is the year-end report that I sent to you.
Okay.
If you'll follow that down to the numbers there at the side that says reserve. There's number 72 and number 73. Those cannot be included in that total, Joe. I think that's where you're getting that. They're on the fund report because they have to be reported. That's our debt reserve that is required for our bond obligations. So we cannot touch that, and we cannot really. It's included when I report it to the year-end report, but they're reserves, and it cannot be touched. It's for if something would happen in East US 27, I have to keep that in reserve by way of the bond ordinance. And if you'll look at the bottom, there's notations that tell you that on this report as well. You have to keep a reserve, and these two reserves cannot be in, that's the year in total, but in really the actual cash balance, if you take that from that, that's, or excuse me, take these two figures out, that's where you come to this.
Okay.
Okay?
But we still have those reserves, and we spent $114,000 more than we thought we were going to.
Right, we did. Yes, we did. And it was on, I mean, it was change orders, and, but yet it was, the project, what I think happened, I wasn't included in on it. Our previous financial advisor, they financed the bonds, and I think when they did, there were expenditures that were paid out of there that were never included. So when they, obviously when the 2014, when I would draw out the bond money, you know, when I came to the end, when there wasn't anything left in there, I had to go to East US 27 TIF because that's where there is always a balance, and I had to get money from there to pay those expenditures of the 114 that you're talking about.
But those expenditures are not going to come up anymore.
No, projects no, they're paid.
Closed and
closed.
Right. Well, we hope. I received two. Go ahead.
No. I didn't say
anything. Okay, I thought so.
And then back to Dave's question on the wind turbine. If we would have been 3 years ago, if we would have been, or maybe 4 years ago, if we would have been on time, we lost a whole year in that time that all we have to, all we were doing is dipping into money that was not making money. So we got, and that's why, Dave, you see why it's the
unflexible. That's why it's so complicated with all of this.
Because it's 1 year behind. And it's all,
Joe, really, I just want you to, I mean, the tips have been consolidated. I probably wouldn't even have to keep these all separate, but I do just because I like to see the revenues. And plus, we were fortunate. We had money that came in. Vision Park, the payoff, we paid off the bonds in Vision Park, the ones that were in 1995, and we received money in from it. Otherwise, it would have been really tight, the money would have been this year, from the reserves that were left there over accumulation, when you, you know, from interest and things.
Okay. So there was money that came in that wasn't budgeted?
Well, there, I think...
Unbudgeted receipts, I guess.
Right. It was, but it was included in this cash projection as well. Umbaugh included it in.
Okay.
But the actual revenue from the property taxes...
We beat projection by a lot.
Yeah. Because we have an expected expense, but
what it bothers me that we beat it by a lot.
A lot, and we don't know exactly where that is.
I feel less comfortable about the numbers, even though they're good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know that the reason we have more, unless they didn't include it in, it was from the money that we received from the payoff of the Vision Park bonds. Mm-hmm. And that
should be in this.
It's in the report. Let me go. I can give you the exact total of what we received it in.
Okay.
It was $137,437.37. On page 9, if you go to page 9 in the year-end report, and if you look at the revenue report for Vision Park TIF.
Yeah, 137,
yes.
437.
Right, that's the amount that we received, yes. The bonds were paid off in Vision Park, and then the, you know, that reserve that I was talking about the others, that's what that is. Most of our reserves are held off-site at, with the actual bank. The bank holds it, I guess,
They don't trust us.
Well, I'm not sure, but they hold the retainers for it. Well, I think they want to draw the interest off of it. It's what I think. They want to make the money off of it.
Plus,
but instead, these other two, that's why they're not included in that box.
Okay. PHTC at home.
That comes out to be about right. So
does it?
The 137,000.
Okay. That's the difference.
It's about the same as 114 plus 20. So.
But the other reason why the bank has to keep it, the way I understood it a long time ago, is that they're also the keepers of the money.
Sure.
So that's just one way. To, and she's probably right, too.
They got
well, if you're going to default on anything, they have a little bit of a...
Yeah, you said, do these reserves show up on the estimate? On the forecast.
Yeah.
As each one of these gets retired, there should be a little pile of money sitting there.
There is, yes.
But it didn't show up.
It did not show up.
It did not.
On this. Right.
Well, actually, Joe, because until Umbaugh became our financial advisor, the previous one never had us put it in the reserve as it was instructed to do by the bond.
Okay.
Really. And that's why then in 2016, it's the first year, if you'll notice, Conan, if you remember from these reports, they were never there in 2000 when that became issued in 2008. That was never there, that reserve. I had to take that out of our actual cash balance and put that reserve there.
Do we have to put that reserve there for Vision Park?
Yeah.
It's not there yet. You can't be there until it's paid off.
There are some that are set up that way, and there are some that aren't. So the expansion, are you talking about the expansion?
Yeah.
The expansion is off-site. It is not figured in to here.
So it's not going to be in here until it's basically
that's
paid
exactly
off.
That's exactly right.
So they don't want to include it in here because you don't know if you're going to pay it off or not. Or they don't know. So I guess it's not going to get included.
I would have preferred it not to have been in here, but that's the way
it is. It would show up as a lump on one of these years as it's retired.
Okay.
But I'm okay.
And then, Vicki, do you want to talk about the transfers?
Yes.
Okay.
It's customary at the year end because they are combined, but obviously we don't get enough property taxes in to make the bonds, and that's why, at the end of the year, we always do. It is necessary that I ask you, as a redevelopment commission, the authority to readjust the tax increment funds, which, if you can tell, I already did that, but if you say that I don't, I'll go back and change my year-end reports.
That's okay.
So I would approve that.
So we need a motion to approve your letter here, memo of January 25th, 2017.
Right. And if you'll notice that it adds up to, the amount of the adjustments and negatives adds up to the positive, and it ends up being zero.
So this is net effective. This is zero, right. Just transferring between accounts, basically.
That's exactly it.
Okay. Did you see, I think she had it. It was a part of our packet, plus it's laid out here on the table.
This one?
Yeah. No, it would be this one here.
Oh, that was number two in our
room. Yeah.
So you need a motion to signify what?
I think we want to make a motion that we approve Vicki's transferring of these funds in order to balance out our December 2016.
Make motion for that, what you just said.
Okay.
Without repeating it.
Okay, we have a motion by Jim Nunez to accept the transfers as requested by the clerk treasurer. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Joe. Any discussion? I think we've had an explanation. Okay, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, good.
Okay, great. Thank you. the year-end invoices plus the January invoices that I'm asking you to approve this evening.
Okay.
Total, that is the, I just put them all in one group there.
Yeah.
It's the claims, the accounts payable vouchers.
Yeah.
That's everything that's right there. Is all and all in. The reports are in these documents here. What they're for.
Yeah, and you sent it to us and I think everyone.
And the total is $483,954.64. And that does include all the bond payments will be dispersed until we're paid up through June, all of our bills, except for obviously the wind turbine operating expenses.
Because that's month by month.
That's correct.
Okay, have a motion to approve the, these are December.
These are actually November, December, and through January now.
This November, December, and January.
Mm-hmm. And the ones in November were utility, were the actual expenses for the wind turbine, and then the bond payments, which I can pay those ahead as well.
Okay.
And what was the total number on that?
$483,954.64.
Okay. I make motion to accept Vicki's report on the vouchers of all the claims to be paid of all 3 months?
Yes.
November, December,
January. We've had a motion by Jim for the approval of the vouchers November, December, January as presented by Clerk Treasurer. Is there a second? Second by Dave. Any discussion? Okay, well, please signify by saying aye to approve. Any opposed? Same sign. Okay. Now, also, you want...
This depends on whether what your organizational is going to be. If you're going to meet monthly, we don't need this resolution. Okay. If you're not, then I would prefer that you approve me to pay the...
What if we went ahead, regardless of whether it went monthly or not, what if we went ahead and did this? Because there's going to be times where we might have a... We may go ahead and say we want to do monthly, but...
Well, I like it the way the mayor handled it the twice now, in December and January, starting November, that, you know, we didn't have enough, but we knew we had monthly bills. We know that from the sign. And then when we met, you know, why wait? But we still give her, you know, the authority to do the bill signing. But we would do it monthly as needed. And the mayor would... Let us know, because he would, or if you want to let Vicki know, let her tell us if you need to meet or not. But I think it means more to him, because these people that come to his office, and then he goes to her, the way I see it.
However you guys want to do that.
Well, I think that at the very least, maybe quarterly, once every 3 months, but if you want to meet monthly,
And then call it when we need to meet.
Yeah, I think what you have in front of you is a proposal to meet quarterly, but we always reserve the right to have a special meeting, and that's real simple, just to throw it in there throw it in there in the paper to advertise the meeting. Which I don't think you have to do that. You just meet if we need to meet.
Well,
but that gives her authorization to pay the bills if we don't have anything on the
Just in case we didn't. I know that we need something in writing.
Yeah.
Why couldn't we do this and modify it so the days that we don't, the months that we don't meet, she has that policy.
This will cover.
I think that covers that.
Yeah.
You have a copy, right?
Yeah. And I would send you emails of the invoices before, if that happens. You may meet monthly, so.
Right.
This was just in case, like we just went through with November, with December and.
Because those numbers, when they add them all up, it gets a little confused. Wait a minute, that bill should have.
Well, everything's there. And really, you don't have to be in any rush. Go through those, whatever you want to do. But they are the bond payments and operating expenses, so.
And it showed it on.
Yeah, there's really nothing more we can do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're kind of maxed out.
Yep.
From.
We have a lot of obligations and we're able to meet them, but I don't see.
Well, we.
I mean, that's up to the mayor on a new project.
Yeah, we need to pay these bonds down, get a couple under our belt, start generating some revenue from our TIF districts, encourage business to come in and contribute in those TIF districts, and that's how you get your revenue in this commission. Is through those businesses inside those economic development districts and TIF districts, so.
Plus the advantage of Mr. Flowers reporting of those people that are interested on doing the FACE in front of their businesses and stuff, or those who's been here or the ones that want to come here too. I mean, that's all hand in hand.
This is the only thing we're here for. If I sign off on this, then I don't need to be here. So I need to think on this one.
Sure.
I won't be able to complete this tonight.
Okay.
Not objected to it, but I need to think about it longer than one night.
Actually, Joe, I just thought, I think I maybe have to have a resolution in order to go ahead and create. It's not a problem. I just didn't know how often we were going to meet.
Yeah, and if we could, put, like I saw some Greenville Avenue stuff in here. That stuff keeps coming up.
Okay. And back to.
I realize paying the bonds, that makes sense. I don't mind signing off on paying bond stuff. It's the extras that has me.
Brian Poehler, who is the engineer for the study for Hamlet and Klein. He was in here Monday. I want to talk about this because I said, why are we receiving invoices? The one is from Greenville Avenue, Phase 3. And I thought that was closed out. And I asked him about that as well. Did he discuss that with you?
Yeah, but closed out doesn't necessarily mean.
Okay,
closed out means there's no more work that we have signed off on the project. That doesn't necessarily mean that everything's paid up.
Right.
I understand. And those aren't big.
I hadn't thought of that because. The way I see this, unfortunately, the way I see this redevelopment commission going forward is paying those, how many bonds did I count up today, Vicki? Seven?
Yes.
Seven bonds that we have out that we have inherited from years past for duly needed projects. I'm not dissing anybody. It's just that we are. In my opinion, I think Vicki's too, we're just maxed out. Mm-hmm. We're not, I don't want to say maxed out, we're getting close enough to the ceiling that causes me a little bit of alarm to say, we really can't go out and borrow any money for any project right now until we pay some off and get, and like I said, get some more revenue coming in through the TIF. Mm-hmm. That's what gives us the buying power, the leveraging power to invest in other things. So.
And Sean is right.
No money coming in, you've got to be careful spending the money you don't have.
Well, the money, there is money coming in, but it's needed to pay the bond.
Here again, is when you add those numbers up, they won't jog up. So you have to be careful.
Yeah, like you said. Yeah. Unless you're seeing something that I don't see,
Junior. Street project.
That's not a redevelopment. Okay, that's not
pretty. Nothing. You're not going to ask us for nothing.
That is an 80% state, 20% city, and we've paid everything except the inspection.
No,
it's
already
been paid.
I know.
We pay the inspection monthly as we go.
From there to there.
And that's through city council.
But no, this one.
So what they do, pay for it?
Pardon me?
We'll double check that with Vicki, but.
What they do for 5 hours?
That's not a redevelopment commission.
I don't think that's one.
Because that's not even an economic development area.
So, the details about this isn't my concern, it's the signing this.
Oh, sure, that's just fine, for something as this, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yep, all right, great.
Came to you guys, because we borrowed money outright out of the city to do that project. As the Union Street is a state project, there's a whole different ballgame from the way we, you know, contracted out to the way we pay for it. So Jim brought up the question, Vicki, about Union Street, will this body have anything to do with Union Street? And it's not, it's just the city council.
Well, fortunately, Union Street, we've paid out our reimbursement, and the only cost that we'll still have for Union Street will be the inspection cost from the engineer and.
And you have to have that because it's a state project.
Yes, well, totally different than this, yeah, so, thanks.
So we're holding off on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great, thank you. All right, okay, is there any other question about any of the other reports? And then I gave you an ask today, after all the bills are paid and everything else, then I gave you the, what we have in our cash balance, through the, today, up to date.
That's the.
And that is, that's right, that's after all these claims have been dispersed right here. And as well, I mean, obviously, you know, when we get our June draw, it'll look a lot better, but the bills are paid, pretty much, so.
Which one are you looking at?
I'm looking at the January 24th, the fund report that I gave you for January 24th.
Is it something that's.
Single page?
It's a single.
Right, right. And so, if you'll notice, obviously, I mean, we get two draws a year. We get property taxes in June and we get them in December. So, yes, we have, and all these funds are all put into one city checkbook. So, when you see the balances in the red, the bonds are paid and they're covered, of course, by in that one, which all our other funds are in as well. So I just wanted to know how that works. But the bills are paid. And the checks are kept away when they're put in here, so. And that's the fund balances there. So back to what Sean said about the projects, no, you won't be doing very many. I mean, because there just isn't, the funding's not there. And a lot of it is the wind turbine. The wind turbine, you know, when you look, go back to this right here, this bottom. Go to the cumulative, the comparison of annual tax increment and obligations. If you'll look under five, go to the bottom, and it tells you, okay, let's just go to start with two. The 2007 bonds are solely paid tax increment property taxes. The 2008 bonds are solely paid by property taxes. The 2011 bonds, that's Willow Ridge. You remember that they didn't want us to, we had to back with edit money as well with that. So, if we would need to for 2011, for the 2011, the mayor would, could appropriate to pay that bond payment from edit dollars, which is not included in this, to pay the Willow Ridge, the Western Avenue, the 2011 bond, okay?
But, look, can I interject real quick right there?
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. What that means is that there is a guaranteed steady income of edit monies coming into the city that they're using that money as collateral towards that bond.
Right.
So in case the city goes broke, you then take the edit money to pay that bond.
Yeah.
And there's enough revenue from edit every year to make that bond payment.
That was an exception. But back then, so the next one then, the 2012 bonds are legally available revenues, I like that, legally available revenues, including wind turbine revenues, which we do, and tax increment. So that's where we're taking the money from East US 27, you know, where we have way enough money, the over, you know, to pay those 2008 bonds from East US 27. That's where we're making it up for the wind turbine bond payments, the obligations. Okay? Right. In 2014, the same way. The redevelopment property tax pledge with the intention is from tax increment, and that is from the consolidated area. Mm-hmm. Remember, then we went and consolidated it. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, just thought I should mention that. All right?
Okay. Thank you, Vicki.
Sorry about my location at the bottom.
Don't we have the final payment? The windmill company held back.
That would be an answer, question for Sean.
Don't we have a payment held back to the windmill company?
We are in conversations with that company right now about what they think is owed and what we think is owed and what the contract states.
Are they even still in business?
Yes.
I've heard they went bankrupt. I didn't know.
So we might owe them right now money that we haven't paid them?
Oh, yeah. There's money owed.
It's round.
But there's contract stipulations that we are working out the kinks because it's based on performance.
There's an outstanding invoice.
Of how much?
Around $80,000.
And we think that we have an agreeable number, which is less than that. But
okay.
I really don't want to say a whole lot more because it's obviously, you know, these negotiations.
There's an outstanding invoice.
I don't think about, you know about possible liabilities.
Yep. I was
just asking.
Yeah, because we're on the work with. I don't know if,
and we inherited that from the last.
Is that an annual type cost or a one-time type cost?
It was just it's an outstanding invoice for, actually, it's pretty much the retainage that has, you know, that we have.
Okay.
It
stems back to construction.
It does.
Mm-hmm. That year that we didn't make any money,
that was
it stems back to that. Because, you know, our contract says this thing should have been built. It wasn't built.
Right.
But they have some valid points as well.
But we do have an outstanding invoice with them that is not included in any of that. Yes, we do. And that's been that way for 2 years. I mean, previous. Okay.
Is that money set aside somewhere? Or the money we'll have to come up with?
We have a, it, we would, I said retainage and I was wrong. No, we would have to come up with that.
Okay.
And that's why, unfortunately, and I'm already ahead. If we go ahead with the facade program, and let's say that somebody wants to apply for $60,000 worth of facade improvements, and then all of a sudden we have to pay $88,000 to the windmill company, we're in the hole.
Yep.
Right? That's $148,000.
Okay.
Worst case scenario. So.
Sean and I discussed it. It needs to be.
So we have $80,000 possible liability on the windmill, and we expect to talk it down.
Sure.
We still have stuff flowing in from the Greenville Avenue project.
Yes.
At some point, they're done doing work. At some point, do they say we're done billing you too?
Yeah,
Brian told me Monday, stood right in my office, my staff hurting, that's our engineer, that he said this was the end.
He said that was it.
Okay, and that's the whole project, not just one of the phases.
He said that was all that was it.
Okay.
But you saw the outstanding billable still is left on that for the 2014 on that claim. It says there's 7,000 remaining.
But that wasn't stuff they're going to build, that was money that was budgeted that wasn't spent.
Absolutely. Right. That's right. Yeah.
But
as I know now, that's what, and
just,
I believe.
Just our estimates are, I'm trying to make sure that our estimates are right, because the $80,000 is new to me. I'm trying to guess what else might be out there that we don't know.
Yeah.
And since
well, I always worry about the wind turbine, because I, you know, we have a lot of electrical bills from that, and they're not utility bills, so, and we always have an obligation. I mean, we're anticipating $55,000. We'll have insurance payment to make, you know, I mean, and we have a maintenance.
Yeah, but that's in our estimate, so.
Yes, it is, that's correct.
We've got that down. It's the stuff that's not in the estimate that has been concerned.
And like I said, Joe, there's two projects since then on the Greenville Avenue that they had a ditch problem, and they worked on it twice. Yeah, that right there at the beginning, when you come off of 27 into Greenville Avenue, it's right in that area where they're having trouble on the south side of it. They've tore it up twice, right in front of Mr.
Peters.
Well, that wasn't a ditch problem. That was actually a sewage problem.
Sewage, okay.
Yeah, they didn't, so.
And that wasn't the expense of this commission. That was from Milestone that paid that.
Yeah.
Invoice. We were not invoiced for that, Joe.
Okay. But you're
that
right.
That was the contractor.
It did kind of, like, the project is a year old and already cutting the street. But we did it. We did, you know, I do want to say that if you do go out there during a rain event, you will notice that that rainwater does go away better than it did. Is it going to be perfect? No. But it is better.
Mm-hmm.
It just is. That's the fact. It's better than what it was. It's doing the job. I think it is to be known that on any kind of project, it's not what people can see that is always the most important part, which is removing the stormwater, or removing the floodwater, and getting it moved out of people's properties and homes. But what people do see is the grass. And that's where we had some trouble in the springtime, but we got that corrected with Milestone, and it looks pretty good out there. Mm-hmm. I think the project looks pretty good. It was a great satisfaction to go and knock on doors and say, you can mow your grass now.
Go mow your grass.
Now.
So, yeah, I think that's all buttoned up and
done. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vicki.
Thank you.
Thanks, Vicki.
You're welcome.
Still want me to turn off the computer?
Sure.
Okay. Next on the agenda, Michael Flowers, Indiana Landmarks.
Well, I guess couple things to talk about. First order of business would be, I have been in contact with Richard Denny, looking at the budget. Are you guys still able to provide money for him if he could go forward with the rest of that building this summer? I guess it's kind of a question. I don't want to be working with him on the grant application if it's not going to be a possibility.
How much are we talking about?
Well, the maximum for any individual on the facade grant is $20,000. I don't know how much we're talking about. He said he had received a quote for the work and is trying to get in contact with a guy. He's currently in the Philippines right now. He won't be back till the end of February.
Does previous projects count against that?
No, the previous projects, I think, are all handled and done.
Okay.
But I know he had ideas of doing quite a bit of work to the building, so I don't know if he was trying to go for the max or not. I haven't discussed pricing with him on that. I know he was interested in continuing to apply for that program and using my help, with the application and what needs to get done. I know he's planning on having paint done, masonry work that is necessary on the one wall, as well as looking into what it might take to get the remaining sashes replaced in the windows on that third floor and the ones that are rehabbed, which would greatly improve the look of the building. And he wanted to meet with me on his return late February.
Well, at least, I mean, the bigger question is, I mean, we've made a commitment, I think, to this program. But from what I'm hearing, if they want to decommit, is that?
I don't know. I mean, I think in my mind, I think that you could do one or two things. You could continue to commit to this program, but if the funding's not there, the funding's not there. I don't know if Michael wants to engage in something like that, knowing what he knows now. I don't know if it's fair to business owners to go through the ringer of this program and then just say, well, wish we could help you, but we don't have the money. But maybe we will have the money. I mean, I can't predict the future, but I know that it's going to be close.
Yeah, budget was off by almost 20% one direction and then the other last year. We had $137,000 in receipts that we didn't anticipate, and we had $114,000 in expenses. We didn't have a problem, actually, more than that.
My opinion on that would be is that that for right now, until this $80,000 is whatever, I don't know how much longer it's going to, it already took 2 years to get to where it's at now, because it was supposed to have been solved 2 years ago, and somehow it got out of hand. For his sake, because we pay him, what is it, a retainer or whatever, yeah, for services.
One time.
Yeah. Services for a year at a time.
Yeah.
And it'll be up this year, you know, and it's $1,000, isn't it?
It's $3,000.
$3,000? Oh, I just thought you don't need to either. The other thing that I just say is that as a safety factor, and you know, that we would table it at this time. That's just my opinion, so we don't hurt ourselves for bad business thing in the future. When we know something like this, you know, we already know it. All of us know it, and it can erupt or it can not. We can't predict it until it's settled. And that's just a safeguard for us all. But that's just my opinion.
So you would recommend that we suspend it?
At this time, until at this time.
You need a second on that?
Are you motioning to table or to suspend?
Okay, the word should be table.
Okay.
Table, yeah, thank you. It should be tabled. That's not when I give it up on it, just
right.
Table it.
Correct.
You know, people could still apply, but we won't have an administrator from this day forward. Would that be right? Am I wrong on that?
Well, the contract's already been paid. Yeah. You know, I'm already staffed to you guys until...
So he's on
or another... I think the contract's open...
November?
September.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
I thought it was January.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
It goes off our fiscal year, so I'm not asking for contractors.
Right.
Wonderful.
I am so staffed at the South Bank until September.
But we still don't know if we have the money to do the facade grant, so I think you're right, let's just table it until we have a more clear-cut picture of where we're at.
We're giving him some advice, either to have Richard do apply or not apply, because it takes effort.
Knowing that we may not be able to fund it, but he's more than welcome to apply.
Because the big problem in the newspaper and radio would be that here it hits us, we gave him permission, now we're not going to pay that individual for doing the job. Now he's out, so now everything has exploded out on the public side.
Yeah. But
I'm just saying.
Sure. There's other funding sources besides your permission.
Yeah.
And so I could use his services in your redevelopment commission checks and balance approval, whatnot, to fund it in a different source. You understand what I'm saying? The apparatus of the redevelopment commission is the body in which says, we approve or we disapprove of the facade look or whether they did it correctly, and then it would be a recommendation to another funding agency within the city to pay for it. You could recommend to, say, city council to pay for it out of general fund, or you could recommend it to, you know, another source to pay for that out of another source. Does that make sense?
Currently, I'll say there are no other people that have contacted me about applications, and this is kind of a carryover from projects last year. I think the facade grant's good for Denny's project because I think he has, I have convinced him, and I don't know, I'd have to meet the contractor to kind of report back on that, but I think I've convinced him to do at least most of the work with an actual contractor to do the masonry work, make sure it gets done correctly, and I think the grant is an incentive for him to go after that type of work. Whereas if he does it himself, he might be paying guys who don't know what they're doing, mm-hmm. and we don't know how that project's going to turn out necessarily. Mm-hmm. So the one major benefit of the facade grant is that we have some control in how the project gets done and what's and how it's completed and if it's done with quality. It's kind of a quality control measure to some degree, you know, as well as improving the looks of the downtown. I mean, I can talk to him, and we know it. If, you know, last time Denny sort of experienced it, it'd take a while to get a good application from Denny. So I guess I could tell him that it's somewhat up in the air. But I know he's still interested in applying. He's the only one, though, as of right now. I don't have any other applications or any other inquiries.
Michael, do you have any idea of how much his need would be on this? I mean, are we talking a $60,000, a $30,000, a $10,000. Do you have any idea where he may be with this?
The max that he could get is 20. So that's the maximum.
Okay.
We're probably looking at between 10 and 20 for the grant, and then he would have to match that. So that would be local investment going in the downtown into the building from Denny. And like I said, some of it is pretty crucial masonry type work. I don't think the building's going to fall or anything. I don't panic anybody, but, you know, good stuff to get done, you know, cut point, you make sure the brick stays in good condition. I mean, I'm sure it could go another year if it had to. Like I said, it's not in, like, danger of falling down or anything. It's stuff that should get done to the masonry wall. There are some gaps and some bricks that also need to be replaced. And over time, you know, a long time, it has a negative effect on the building. As well as painting it, because, you know, I'm sure everyone's noticed, you know, it doesn't look the best. And then he has also expressed interest in opening up the windows that are boarded, which would, again, also provide quite a bit of aesthetic, you know, benefit to the building.
Now, is this the last project he's yes. approached you about, or is this another in a series that could be followed?
This would be the remainder of the building. Because last year he did the bottom floor of that building, rebuilding the one facade essentially, replacing glass, painting it, doing woodwork, removing the pigeons' nests, all that sort of stuff. And he did improve, you know, the look of that first story. It was kind of done that way because we were having a lot of issues getting a good application put together that would be approved by the committee that meets over the facade grant, as well as you guys. It kept getting tabled and tabled and pushed, and it was kind of a project I had walked into. So this is kind of a continuation from that.
So his application as such has been ever going, where a new one coming from somebody else right now, we may not be able to do that with. Is this an amount that we might be able to reach from this group? Conan, I mean, this $10,000 to $15,000, is that a possibility that we wouldn't have to deny at this point, and we could still keep our
below the, right? No, I think what you could do is you could continue to keep the facade grant open, and if it comes back where we have a successful grant applicant to do work on a building, and this body can't pay for it, you can be the recommending body for another funding source to pay for it. So does that make sense?
That makes
it could go to city council.
It could go to city council. There.
General fund.
It could go to general fund. It could go, and there's a number of things that it could go through.
So we could still keep our...
I think while you've already paid for his services, I think you should keep going, my opinion.
What if he gets two or three requests next week? I mean, are we going
to... After they read the paper.
Honestly, You've had one in a year?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's,
And see, you know, Mr. Giddy's been with us for what?
Request, just gonna have to say, look, we don't know if we got the funding right now.
We don't wanna do away with the program, but right now we have to.
We're committed to some funding maybe, and we don't know if we have funding to do anything else. That sounds right.
I mean, city council really wanted to, they could appropriate money to the facade program if they really wanted to. I'm not pressuring to do that.
Right.
I'm just saying it's an option.
Yeah. It's a good program.
And back to Dallas' question, we've been.
We had Michael on board.
He's been with us for 4 years, Dallas. He's been putting in applications and meeting them and changing them for about 4 years now.
Is that right?
You had him before, he was before you.
Yeah, I know he did a previous building, I'm not sure if he did another one before that, I have to take a look at the records, but he's put in a decent amount of investment in the buildings, and again, you know, the benefit of the facade program is we have some sort of control over what projects are done and how they're done, so that way he can't have something that just looks ghastly in the downtown. There's kind of a benefit to that, and I think that, but we're not obligated, or the commission isn't obligated. This isn't an ongoing application anymore because of the year end and because we wanted to focus on that ground level and just get it done. There is no ongoing application. It's not been tabled or anything. It would be a new application from Richard Denny.
Right.
It would just be for a building that has received previous money for that.
Does he have a, does he cap, I mean, 20,000 is our cap, but if we've already given 15,000, does he only have 15? Or 5,000.
No, it's a yearly basis.
It's a yearly basis, okay.
Correct.
I see, yeah. My bad.
So, essentially.
Right. Okay, so he's got another 20,000 potentially he could work with.
I don't know if it'd be that much.
I see.
But I don't think this commission can spend any more than $60,000 per year on facade program.
That is
right.
Right.
That's right.
You can't, you just can't.
Right. Yeah, we are, right. Yeah.
Legally, you guys can't spend more. So, right. Like, you could have three applications for 20,000 or 10 of 6, but you guys can't grant more than 60.
Well, I think it's a great program, and I hate for us to do away or even weaken it. And as has been pointed out, if we can't fund it, maybe we can refer it to somebody. I just like to see us keep this program available and running. And if we have people that need it, yeah, and we've got
resource.
So, I think we got to keep going and just handle it as we need. I don't mean to interrupt what you were saying, Jim, but
no,
I think
that's what we need. Now that we know more data and figures and years and standing, and he's in good standing. Mm-hmm. He's always, every time Michael has talked to him, he's changed it. He's done this and that to meet our needs that we would recommend to him and the council.
Okay.
So. Okay, we were just talking about making a motion. We haven't done anything.
It sounds to me we don't need to make a motion at this time. I'll leave it up to the members.
Yeah. Just continue on as well.
Michael needs some advice.
Yeah, he needs help, though.
Mm-hmm.
He's asking, should we go ahead to...
If we don't have money, and he lines us up, Mr. It's Richard Denny, right? Mr. Mm-hmm. Denny needs to realize that we're not going to loan it to him.
But we may be able to go ahead and refer it to somebody else who could.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, we need to tell him that up front, right?
Yeah, we've got this program. we'll support you. We'll say you should go talk to the council.
I think what it is, Joe, is that...
You would come and talk to council, not him, right?
Well, I think what would happen is if Richard applied, and he applied for $20,000, one, he's agreeing to put $40,000 into this building downtown. So this body would be the check, would be the committee that looks at his application, goes out and makes sure that he's putting the right kind of plywood up, that he's using the right kind of paint, tuck pointing with professional contractors, et cetera, et cetera. This redevelopment commission would recommend or not recommend to another funding source, maybe city council, to fund it or not. That's how, I mean, the city of Winchester has demolished homes.
homes in the name of economic development. This could be an economic development.
I think I go right along altogether.
So if we take one more step back, do we not intend on spending any money on this project? Independent of how good his application is, if he has a perfect application, are we still not going to fund it?
I think with our, with the, from what I'm hearing, the potential $80,000 liability hanging out there, I don't think we're, it's a bigger question than just Richard Denny. I think the future of the program is a big question.
So given our current finances, our strategy is not to give grants for site work.
This committee can't. Is that what you're asking? I don't think that this commission has the money to award grants for the SOG program, but this commission could
recommend.
Sure.
If we're not going to spend it, then that's what we need to
explain. So he needs to have to do that up front.
Because it's not just us. We have to find the money.
Right. More people have to be involved. Now, if we have to have an application before that, or would another body be willing to somewhat commit a certain amount of money to help out in advance? Because I guess my biggest issue is, and I'll still work with, and I will tell Richard that, but I don't want to necessarily like get his hopes up for this grant, and then all of a sudden no one's willing to fund it.
Let me ask you this: is this committee funded it, and the $80,000 come up that we had to come up with? Can we turn around and get the $20,000? Or someone else to put back in.
Oh yeah, if this commission
there's ways to move the money around,
if
right?
If this commission goes in the red, city council has to bail this commission out.
Yeah.
Well, at the end of the day,
we don't need desk permission.
At the end of the day, city council is responsible for all this, including this commission.
So there's more than one way of transferring the money.
Absolutely. I mean, you could go put on the council agenda, I think, Dave, to appropriate money, whatever you want, $30,000, $40,000, whatever, $60,000, to make sure that the facade program continues to function. And really, instead of, I think that this redevelopment commission could still be the check and the monitor of the facade program. Michael works for you, which then you guys decide. Just to tell Dave and Tom, you recommend this applicant getting funded, and it comes out of that appropriated money if you can get council to agree to it.
So right now for us, though, for us and Michael, is that we can go ahead and make a motion after the recommendation.
I think what you should do. I think you should table this for tonight.
Okay.
Talk about it at the next council meeting. Depending on what council wants to do, come back and say, okay, we have a security.
There you go.
Right? Okay, so we have a fail-safe. We have somebody that, if we can't fund it, there are funds for sales.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So in my opinion, if Richard Denny comes to you tomorrow, say, you know what, we need to wait about a month. So we hear further instructions.
You will be back for the end of February, right?
Right, there you go.
We'll meet before then.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Do we need a motion to have a strategy like that?
Yeah, it sounds to me like we do. We need to, because we're asking basically for the city council to back up, I guess, our obligation. If we can't meet that obligation. And I guess
It's a contingency thing at the
moment. Yeah, and I'm not sure what's going to trigger whether we meet the obligation or not. I mean, that's kind of a gray area. This could be hanging over our heads for, we kind of...
Based on our revenue, it's a small project, but we could be off by hundreds of thousands
right.
of dollars.
We found that through just in the last,
We figured that out. Yeah. So I move that this committee
suspend the facade program until you hear from council.
Yeah, request support from the city council to run the facade or to fund the facade program. How's that?
I think so. We're going to suspend the facade program you're recommending that we suspend it at this time.
Okay, yeah, we'll suspend it, yeah. Yeah, that's kind of two pieces, but yeah, we need to go to the council and ask for their support to do it.
Suspend it or table it?
Well, we don't have anything to table, we don't have anything.
Okay. Yeah, right, I think suspend is probably, yeah.
I think it's suspended for now, right?
Yeah. So two separate steps. Suspending it, and somebody go talk to council.
Well, that's where...
I think you have to, I think you should probably take two different motions, have two different motions.
Okay.
One to suspend it.
I'll do that.
Good.
So that moves to suspend the facade program.
And I second it. I second the suspension.
Any further discussion? Let's have a vote by aye, approve that motion.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
Now comes the secondary.
I misspelled my name in the notes, that's all.
Would it be in our best interest for, well, I know Tom's not here, but that's the representatives appointed by council.
So is Dave.
That if Dave and Tom take it to the council, because they're representing the council here.
Absolutely.
Let them take it to explain the maximum and the minimum, which is 60,000 or 20,000. 60 if we have a lot of people in this year, if there's a lot of people to make applications, or at the most 20 for an individual that's going to be asked, it's already asked.
Right. You're not asking council to administer the program. You're asking council to fund the program. That's it right here.
Should we word that so that we will be obligated to fund the 20,000 and put any new applications on hold, or?
I wouldn't want to do this every time somebody comes along. I'd want to say, yeah, you know what, we think this is a good program, we will fund it. Or they could say, no, we won't. But I don't want to have them have to, every time somebody applies, oh, we've got to decide whether the council's going to fund it. I think the council's looking at what Jim said, that 60,000
potentially. And then right now, we know that 20 is going to be asked for. Yeah. Out of the 60, so at least 40, that's questionable.
Well, I haven't seen Denny's application.
Yeah, we don't know.
How much. It could be 10. It could be 10
at
the minimum, I would say.
But at least, like you said,
Denny could sell a gun tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't know until that application comes in. So it doesn't really matter. If I give some advice, what I would do is make a motion to ask council, Dave be the representative, to take this to the council, to ask for an appropriation of whatever you guys agree on from council to fund the facade program, with the Redevelopment Commission administering that program for through the Indiana Landmarks.
For this year.
And if it passes, you have to get either budget for it next year, or you have to reappropriate.
But that'll come out of council.
I mean, there's a lot of ways we can slice this up.
But at least it's a start, though. At least it's a start.
Absolutely.
I mean, it can come out of edit money, come out of general fund, it can come out of...
Well, you do half and half. I don't know. We'll sit down and talk about it. That's how we play it.
So I move to have our representatives approach the council to appropriate
appropriate
the facade program?
Yeah, I think it'd have to be appropriate the money.
The money, okay.
60,000.
I was going to say fund.
Same thing. Appropriate fund.
I know what fund means.
To secure the facade program.
Representatives approach the council to fund the facade program to be administered by the Redevelopment Commission for 1 year. Okay.
60,000.
Fund up to $60,000 for the facade program.
Michael, do you know of any other municipalities that do the Indiana Landmarks facade program through any other body besides the Redevelopment Commission?
Honestly, you guys are aware of the fact that I think think you're the only one who set up a facade grant program where we staff it. I have been involved in other facade grant programs. A lot of them have been grants, sometimes from the state, sometimes from the federal government that trickled down. Sometimes they have, you know, just general city fund. There have been revolving loan funds, for instance, set up in cities, which is also an option if a facade grant program can't be sustained. There's always that option as well. But I think that it just kind of depends on how a city wants to budget it. All facade programs are unique in that way, that wherever the money comes from is kind of decided where it can be used. You know, and it depends on each local ordinance too, because it's economic development is essentially usually the justification for a facade program. And so I guess it just depends on how that city feels economic development funds should come from.
Instead of 1 year, how about through September? That's the end of the contract. We don't have to have our fingers in it if we're not
right.
funding it.
Right. I would agree with that.
You know what? Council may want to take this up and take it completely out of your hands anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Not just take the council.
Yeah.
If we're that unique and other places don't really even go through the redevelopment commission, let's explore the other one.
I would make the argument.
Yeah, go ahead.
I would make the argument to City Council, and I'd be more than willing to show up and answer any questions. Facade programs are immensely beneficial. You know, they really reinforce business retention and attraction. You know, people have to leverage their local money. So if you did give, you know, as he mentioned, if you did give, you know, Denny 20 grand for the building, he has to put in 20. So that's a local investment going into the downtown. It shows the city cares about the downtown, the people there, and, you know, it's something that can be, you know, put out in a press release or something. You know, the city gave this much money, you know, to, you know, people that leverage this much money. Sometimes it leverages more local dollars. There's been a lot of cases of facade grants where they were granted 20K, but they put 80K in the building or something like that. And then that's local money leveraged, you know, from the program. It's widely beneficial for, you know, downtowns and, you know, even just small projects. You know, somebody needs new windows and they need some paint or something like that. And, you know, it improves, you know, the visual of the downtown. It shows investment from the city, local investment. I mean, I think facade programs are probably one of the greatest things out there, you know, as far as you know, the downtowns. So I would make that argument, and regardless of how it's structured, I just think it's pretty good.
So you're not going to need our fingers in it?
Good. No, I you know, if you look at, you know, we don't have a funding source, like a edit money coming in. We're basically trying to fund a program that we really don't have a funding source for. So I'm not sure we don't need to have our finger in it. I like your idea of really, if that's the case, we're almost handing it over to the city.
I was trying to just think of a reason why not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they...
It's their checkbook, so they're going to have a final decision anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be okay to check with Anastasia about if there are any grants from the state that could help us out with this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we're kind of the odd organization to manage the program then.
Right? Well, I wouldn't say necessarily the odd, but it's just different every city. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's other examples of redevelopment commissions funding a facade grant, but I mean, essentially, you know, a city council could allocate funds for a program to administer a facade grant if they wanted to, or sometimes they do come from grants. I did a small one in Knightstown, actually, through the Indiana National Road Association, because the Eagleton Family Fund gave us money to do so. So they're structured all differently through different organizations, different local governments. It's just kind of, you know, wherever the money can be justified to be spent, then you can make a facade grant. I don't think there's anything prohibiting that, because
And also the same thing, Joe, that it could be that if the council decides to take this on, they would ask us to go like what we're doing now with him, And we would recommend back to the council with two representatives here that this is what was said. He could go to the meeting and Dave and Tom could present the case. I mean, it's still, but we would at least, would be a recommendation.
Is there still body. Is there still the committee?
We haven't met because there hasn't been business, so I would need to send an email out to them and see who wants to be a part of it.
You were shy two people last time when I asked that question back in October.
Or essentially, you guys could be the committee, and the council could be what you guys have the final say.
Yeah.
That way you don't have that extra trying to get people to come in once a month to look at it.
Yeah.
I think you could do that, couldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, and to this point, I think there would have to be a new ordinance drafted if city council took on the program from you guys. If you just ask for the funding for this year and then maybe see where it goes, I think that could be an option too, to see if they would allocate the funding to the redevelopment commission for the program for this year. And then if they want to take it on, see benefit, maybe they could draft a new ordinance. Because the ordinance specifies this body.
Correct.
I think this is the body to handle. I think. As Sean can say, our city council meetings last forever. And so for the city council to help fund it would be one thing.
I think that,
But to actually administer the program through you, I think it should be us.
Yeah. That's kind of, that's the way it's set up now.
Yeah.
Not but there's another commission. Right. There's another committee that helps him. And then they recommend it to us.
Yeah,
that's, I think we're getting but that. But he's right. You guys don't have to happen. Yeah. You don't want to, other than the ordinance, committee, commission, or designated committee. Yeah. So you guys don't absolutely have to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you guys have to.
Yep. And that's what the,
So do we, where are we at with our?
So the motion, I adjusted it just a little bit, so we're not quite preliminary procedure. I move that we have representatives approach the council to fund up to $60,000 for the facade program to be administered by the Redevelopment Commission through September. Is that right?
Did you put the 60?
Yeah, he said 60,000. Okay.
Fund up to $60,000 for the facade program to be administered by the Redevelopment Commission through September.
I second that. Since he motioned it.
Okay. Any further discussion? If not, we'll entertain a vote to signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed to it, same sign? Good. I think it's that's going to allow you to, well, and it's going to be before you have to really deal with the bidding, so like, hopefully we'll have council.
Now, we can put that on the agenda for the next.
Would it be, when is the next meeting, man?
Monday.
First Monday of the month.
But no, what number, so he would have it on this. If you could make it.
I could do it.
If you could make it that day.
I'm on the calendar.
This is the
25th. The
25th.
So
the 6th.
2 months.
6th of February.
Yeah. Okay. What time?
6:30.
6:30.
All right.
And that way the mayor can schedule it look right at the top, and that way Dave and Tom would.
Yeah, that's right. We'll get,
so you can
get we'll you right after the WCCPC.
Oh, no, ours is going to be the last one. Oh, that way I don't have to come to that meeting.
Oh.
I planned it.
Oh, you need it to get bottom.
The second month. The second meeting.
Of
the
month. I see.
Anything else, Michael?
I'll be really brief. I didn't know that I was going to take so long, so I apologize.
No, that's okay.
So I guess I have prepared some of this information before here and all that, so maybe this is something where maybe you guys could brainstorm another body that could maybe, this would be a small amount, but essentially, Indiana Landmarks has taken an interest in that corner building over there, the one that's vacant. And I've talked to JB and he's very interested in doing some sort of potential project there and where Indiana Landmarks might take the lead. We have met with the owners, the Stanleys, and they may have been some, it would have to be finalized, but there was some interest in potentially donating the building. I'm not going to guarantee anything. So there might be something worked out, but what we need before we can move forward with anything like that is usually information. So we have something called the Endangered Grants and Loans Program, in which we can fund 80% or up to $2,500 of a feasibility study. The feasibility study would then tell us And getting somebody in engineering group or something that works specifically with historic buildings would kind of give numbers on what a rehab might cost, what it would take to stabilize the building. A lot of times what Landmarks does in situations like this is we'll take ownership of the building. If let's say our real estate committee, because we have committees and stuff to go through, wants to do it, we work on raising the money to stabilize the building and kind of, because right now it's a negative. It has a negative kind of, you know, value with how much damage was done because of the fire. So essentially what we try to do a lot of times is stabilize the building, close that gap, put it back on the real estate market and get it to somebody. And usually we wind up selling the building. We actually did a project very similar to that. I don't think the building is in as bad shape, but in Metamora. And so the way the funding of the project would be kind of, that's kind of way in the future. First, we need to know what's going on with the building before anything can be moved forward. So essentially...
Is that 100 South Main?
That's 101, I think.
Okay.
I'm talking about Walsh.
So, for a much larger building, I'd ask a ratio, and I think we work with them sometimes.
Where I saw it.
That's the first one, because
probably it's multiple addresses associated with it, but the tax address.
Okay, so that's the second one, because it starts with 100, doesn't it? It don't start with 100.
Yes, I want
to get going away from town.
Yeah.
Evens are on the right, odds on the left.
Oh, that's why.
Coming into town.
Still in the west.
Okay, so not now.
It's a blue driver.
But essentially, a very important, prominent corner building in the downtown area. So I think it's very important to know what's going on with the building. And I think it's important, you know, for us too, if we get involved, to have that information, and we'll need it as well. And so essentially, this grant is used for buildings like that to fund those feasibility studies. Now, it just kind of depends on what you guys need, and there have to be some quotes, as I do have a contract with you guys for the facade grant, but I think I would be willing to, if you guys were interested, to go out and see what that might, an actual cost on that might be. I do also have some... But it would be small, so we're talking probably $7,000 for the total refund, essentially, and then the rest of the money would have to be provided. And it would be a small grant, you know, it's a small amount. It would kind of give a sense of what can be done with the building. I mean, and I've been inside it. I don't think it's beyond saving. I think that there's a good chance to kind of renovate it and get it back on the market. But again, we need to kind of know those numbers and have those specifics.
You're talking about a feasibility study?
Yes.
And obviously you got to get the owner's permission? And
I've already got his permission if you guys move forward. I talked to him.
Who pays for it?
That's what I guess, like I said, I prepared this information before sitting for the meeting. I was going to ask and see if you guys were interested in providing the funding. We would provide part of it with the grant, and then we would then, that was just something for a building of 70,000 square foot. I've been quoted, if you wanted all the whistles and bells, it would be about $10,000 or so for the entire feasibility study. If you just needed a conditions assessment and rough numbers for rehab, it could be around $5,000. So there's varying prices on what you can do with a feasibility study, depending on what you want. And this was from an architectural firm. If you go with an engineering firm, it might be cheaper to get those engineering because they have to go to outside consultants to get engineering.
Don't we have an engineering firm on hand, man?
I would go with one, though, that has specific with historic buildings.
That's a different engineering.
No, we don't have anything on the general. We pay for the service. We don't pay in advance of services.
So I guess...
I don't know whoever coined the term that we had retainer, but we don't have
So would this be another project for him, since he at the meeting, to bring it up in front of the city council?
Well,
so the grant is $2,500 towards a feasibility study.
Yes.
I don't know why it would hurt to get a couple quotes on a feasibility study
and see what it would cost.
It's right here in downtown.
But let me ask you, what if the feasibility study says that there is no hope for this building? Do you have grants of demolition?
Unfortunately, we don't do that.
You guys don't, but there are grant sources out there for demolition.
I suppose the benefit of a feasibility study is knowing what is possible with that building. As it sits there, you know, it's not benefiting anybody in the downtown.
Right. Where everybody's scared of it because the electrical, of the rumors of electrical problems.
And to that point, I deal with a lot of buildings where, you know, somebody is in a meeting or talks around and says, it's going to cost $8 million to fix that building. And then everyone starts believing that number. Having a feasibility study, you have a factual thing from an experienced engineer or architect who is working with historic buildings and you know what that cost might be. Like I said, I walked into the building. I don't think it's unsavable. Two, if we have an idea, like I said, Landmark should take lead on projects like this every once in a while on worthy buildings. But we can't present that to our real estate committee without numbers and an idea of what it may take. And when we take lead, we generally do project management. We usually look elsewhere to raise the funds, but occasionally we have loans essentially through that same program to ourselves for some of the stabilization work. It can be structured a million different ways, but we kind of take lead, ownership, liability of the building if possible, and then after it's stabilized, we work on selling it. It's just something we do. We usually don't profit off those projects, usually break even, but it's just something that is part of our mission that we try to do for buildings like that.
So,
I think that falls right in line with what we're trying to do with demolished abandoned houses. I mean, to restore.
Restore is the number one to keep our tax base up.
Yes.
And then if that doesn't happen, then it gets
But I think it all comes in the same scope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think having a feasibility study would just be adding a tool to your toolbox. It just gives you information. I don't see why not.
Well, so you're suggesting that we apply for a grant, but then we have matching of $5,000 to $10,000?
Well, it just depends. Like I said, if there's interest from this body, I'll go out and talk to people and try to get some quotes for the next meeting. Essentially, I talked to Ratio, who's a relatively large firm out of Indianapolis. Now, they said for all the whistles and bells, which includes drawings, which you probably don't need, you just need an assessment and costs, that's $10,000. So that's the high end. The low end's about $5,000. And then our grant is 80% or up to $2,500. And if you guys know of any other firms in the area that do this type of work with historic buildings, you might be able to find cheaper as well. I mean, realistically, you're probably looking at about a $6,000 to $7,000 total to give all the information we need for the building. And the Landmark's grant is up to $2,500. But I can't say for sure what would be, just from my experience and talking to people, you'd probably be looking at about $7,000. To get the necessary information on the structural. There's a problem with needing to know what the structural capacity of that building is and the structural state of that building. So I think that's important to kind of get moving forward with that particular structure.
Does that include the Shepherd building too?
The parcel is the three-story building all the way over to Dixie's Band Studio and then back to Bob Oliver. That is one building.
Wow.
So, I mean,
Bob Cook.
Not my lord. Bob Cook. So, I mean, I guess.
Gives clear views. Gives how far south?
Up to Dixie's.
Yeah.
It's two storefronts.
Yeah. It's a three-story building. But behind it, to the east of the main building, is a two-story building. Rainbow Room is what they call it. But I think what you have, I'm all for saving historical structures, don't get me wrong. But if you spend this money, and then even if you do restore it back to the gap, to where it wasn't, you put it on the market, then what?
And you got to get it from Stanley's.
I mean, you put it on the market and then what? I mean, who buys three-story buildings with that much? I mean, who does it? Are you going to find yourself in the same problem of, you know, if you take on ownership, that you have to maintain it?
Well, we're not asking you guys. Essentially, Landmarks would take the ownership of the property. If they, you know, I can't guarantee anything.
But if you sell it to somebody, and getting what you have spent and what you've put into it, you may have another situation like you have Crescent Seeds.
But I guess the biggest point is getting some work done to the building, because right now nothing's being done with it. It's just deteriorating by neglect, and it's going to continue to do so. And that building is going to be expensive to demolish if it does get to that point where it can't be saved. You're going to have to shore up the wall of the building next to it, because that wasn't meant to be an exterior wall, so that's an expensive payment. And you're getting probably close to six figures or over to see anything demolished in that building.
Buildings aren't, even a three-story building around here, six figures is hard to get out of one. I mean, my dad's building.
Right.
He's not expecting to get.
Well, I was talking about what the cost of demolition.
Yeah, I know. Okay. But yeah. So demolition is probably more greater than what anybody's going to spend to buy it.
So I guess our mission is saving historic buildings. We do need information before we can move forward. Essentially, if the, like I said, I cannot guarantee anything. We have to go through our permissions and stuff. But there is a lot of interest from the director of the Eastern Regional Office for the building, and the information needs to be known. But if a situation came where, you know, we were willing to kind of take the project on as project leads, assume ownership, it's not putting you guys in the hole for anything. You're just providing the necessary planning tools for people to make an informed decision on what to do with the building. Because as it stands right now, again, it's not benefiting anybody in its current state. It's kind of the first step that needs to happen. Because you can have people talk about it all you want, but until you know for sure what's wrong with the building.
But my point is, and I'm not arguing, I'm not trying to counterpoint.
I'm just trying to make a point.
Yeah, my counterpoint, I guess, I would like to say is there's other alternatives for that space. That
and
could be explored. I mean, you go over and just look at our neighbor in Union City. You know, they knocked down a gigantic building. And I think they have developers interested in that location.
Plus, they've knocked down five buildings in all three-story, two-story. They made a park out of two of them.
Right.
They parked out of two of them. And so that's when they have stuff downtown, people can gather. I mean, and it does gather a lot out there. Now, the other ones are still just a vacant lot out there. Their tax base is dwindled down.
You lose that piece of history forever.
That's the thing. And the first thing, and that's what you and Missy's are involved with that.
Lighthouse.
Yeah. Is first, we want to keep that house there if possible for safety. But if it doesn't, you know that your tax base is just now went out the door when you take out a house.
We're going to say that we weren't collecting the taxes on it anyhow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they ever list the building?
I think it was listed.
I think it was listed, but yeah. When we met with them, we had a very positive thing. It sounds like they kind of want to get the building off their hands, so I think there might be potential. For us to take ownership of the building.
So Wednesday,
because I think that's the biggest risk is current owners. How to get it from them.
Well, we would kind of, I guess, engage them in those talks if we felt the project was right. So, like I said, the first step is usually getting the information. It's a very important historic building in downtown. I think that's kind of the point. You know, it's right there on the square. Even if you built new, it would, you know, it could alter the character of that downtown, part of the charm, you know, downtown Winchester, you know, those types of projects too. If there are people interested in that space, they may be interested in putting something into that building as well, if it's not in the condition it's in. So, you know, we sold a commercial building, for instance, in Metamora, you know, a couple of years ago. Our office did a project like that where they stabilized and sold it. So it's it's kind of one of those things that, you know, it is part of, historic preservation plays a role, not the only thing, but plays a role in economic, you know, investment and revitalization, things like that.
Do you have a time factor in there? I mean, do you have to have it this month?
No, I wanted to kind of introduce the idea, and whenever you guys are ready, I could go into what you guys could propose. I just offered to sign a contract with you guys, but...
I admit, I'm lost a little bit. The question is, does what, do we want to take ownership?
No, the question is just asking if you guys would be willing to provide the money for the feasibility study in conjunction with, on the contingency that we approve the grant.
And it's a lease, how much?
I would say we're probably looking at about $70,000 total. And we can provide up to about $2,500.
Not doing real well right now.
I mean, I think we're in the same boat as the facility grant. We don't really have the money without...
Yeah, we need to decide, we're not spending money if we don't think we have money either.
But I hate to keep kicking it out into the city, but to me, it's almost more of a city question.
Especially to the committee that's already formed.
Yeah, maybe the blight. The blight and how things
should discuss it. Yeah, I think you came up with a good idea.
I don't have advice on it. I'm still thinking it through.
Yeah.
I'll do anything right now.
Yeah. Can we just table it for another, I mean, it's been there for years, so...
Absolutely.
Can we just table it to just see further information?
We have to table it because, first of all, we don't...
Have no money.
No,
you don't even have any quotes either. I mean, so...
I'm just suggesting that he chase it down or not chase it down.
So right now, if, you know, he could pursue it on his own without our recommendation.
Yeah.
Because if we recommend it, then we're kind of locked into at least $7,000-$8,000. At least we're locked in. So I think we just table it. I mean, it's great that you brought it to our attention, but now that we know, and now you know our situation, and the city's situation, and you'll understand the city's situation once you go to their meeting, and then you can feel what's going to be in the future. That's my estimation.
No, I think that's.
I just wanted to introduce the idea, and like I said, I had prepared all the information.
Well, I think it's a great idea. I think the.
Well, at least you're earning his money.
That's important.
At least he's earning his money out there, looking at his stuff. Okay, so. Anything else?
Michael?
Thank you so much for all your information.
Sorry for taking so much of your
time. No. That's what we're here for.
Okay, looks like next on the agenda is the organization establishing meeting times and dates and election of officers.
I think we need to table that till we have full Tom's here.
Tom's not here, that's Tom's problem.
Tom didn't hold an office in here, all right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it doesn't matter. I'll thank you.
If we don't do it monthly, then we need to give Vicki authority to pay the bills. We've never not approved a bill since I've been here. I don't expect we will. But that's all we're really here for, is approve these bills. We just said we're not doing the side grant. We're not, you know, we're not doing anything else. That's all we do. Seems kind of silly to sign that off. I don't need to be here at all.
Right.
She's going to pay the bills. And I'd be okay with all the bond stuff. It's the extras.
Question. Yeah. Why? Well, We're already closed off on this.
That's what we're here for. So I don't know how to sign that or how to rewrite that so that we can meet quarterly.
Mm-hmm.
Or just not be quarterly. Just come in every month.
Yeah.
And then,
they're going to be a pretty short meeting.
Once we're
done with the facade discussion.
Yeah, you showed interest in being on the redevelopment commission. You kind of blocked off one night a month for it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If nothing else, I'd give you an update on what we're doing in the city, or we could come in and we could talk about sports.
But we can come in 2 months instead of, you know, every month.
Well, how about the bill that she needs to pay every month?
I think we need to meet monthly.
if this is nor other reason than to pay the bills. I think we need to keep track of, and I know we're doing a pretty good job, much better job I think we have in the past, of tracking of what our expenses are and how our cumulative balance is going. And it's a learning process. I believe that's, you know, you get 35 pages of numbers. But, sure. But my recommendation is that we continue monthly meetings.
On a second Tuesday of the month?
That's
not Tuesday.
Thursdays.
Oh, Thursday of the month.
Second Thursday. Right?
Yeah, I don't think that's a, the only thing, reason why we might want to change it is if Vicki wanted a later date to get reports out quicker or more timely, but I don't think we've had that issue with
Well, the third Thursday is the city
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
Park.
Let's city continue. Park. I mean, my recommendation that we would continue at 5:30 on Thursdays. Second Thursday of the month.
I second that.
Okay.
Why are motions so hard to make in this group, you know?
Furby's got a second.
So moved, right?
All right. I didn't get it all written down. Second Tuesday, second Thursday.
Second Thursday of the month, 5:30 p.m. And we will meet monthly.
By Furby.
Okay. Election of officers.
You need to vote.
On favor.
What are they now?
Right now we have Joe Batt as our secretary, Jim Lina as our vice president, and Kevin Walls as our president.
I'll make a motion that we
There's a motion on the floor.
Huh?
There's a motion on the floor.
Oh, there is, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but Conan's motion.
Oh, okay.
We have to vote on it.
Oh,
we already had the first and second.
Yeah, on the meeting times and date, there's a motion on the floor.
Aye.
All in favor, please say aye. Thank you. Okay, all right.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion that we retain the same officers for next year, if they're willing. As we have this year.
I second that.
Close the floor for nominations.
Well, you got a second first.
Second?
Yeah, I seconded it for your motion.
Yeah.
With, he's adding to your motion, to your motion.
You don't have to.
I mean, to your motion, he wanted to add, well, recommended, that we close the nominations.
Oh, and I recommend that we close the nominations.
Yeah, I second that.
Now you're locked in.
Conan didn't even have time to react.
That's what we had to do with that.
Usually a second year of experience is always better, right?
Yeah. No, we're good.
Okay.
Now we need to vote the motion.
What, we need to what?
Vote on the motion.
Vote on the motion. Okay, thank you, Jim. All in favor of the motion to retain officers, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign.
After a 90-minute meeting, Conan, you just gotta let it go, right?
Yeah.
See, that's what you think feels the rare.
And we did. We're doing this all in reverse order here, but we did have minutes from the November meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I was not at that meeting.
Yeah.
Jim, you were open the meeting. Tom, it was in our. Here. It was a. Let you read that, make sure it looks
okay.
Good.
Open discussion with Marsons.
Marson?
Yeah. And for a 50% match grant for parking lot paving. And then we had all the accounts payables, and we, you know, how much they paid and how much it was invested in there. And then accounts payable, that was, they went ahead and just declined their request. And then we went to accounts payables for that, approving of
$177.88.
Okay, I seen that. Oh, that's my comment. I think after 88, I seen a comment instead of a period.
That's why we're broke.
Yeah. Joe made a motion. And seconded by Tom. And, oh, I forgot to read the attendees was Joe Batt, Tom Sells, Dave, myself, and Dallas. And then discussion meets of less for quarterly. We talked about quarterly then, but nothing happened. Tom made a motion to adjourn, and Tom seconded, or Joe seconded. And we were adjourned at 5:50 p.m. with happy faces.
Yeah. Yeah, motion to accept the minutes is read.
Make a motion.
Second.
All in favor of signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay. Thank you. Any other comments?
Make a motion and we adjourn.
Second.
Okay. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. Man, those last two things were quick, didn't they? You can keep up. I'm behind.
And then city council. I thought we were a city council meeting. Oh, my God.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dallas.
Thanks, Dallas. Thanks.
Hey, Dallas, I got a project for you to work on if you would volunteer.
Would I volunteer? You volunteered me for the last one I worked on. I don't know.
It's something to do with celebration. Whew. I'll get with you later once it's committed.
One thing is for sure, this city is committed to getting as much time in every meeting as possible.
You got too many windy people on these committees.
That's right.
Oh.
Probably a signature.
Okay.
Dave, we're gonna sign.
Signatures.
No problem.
Yeah, I'll let you guys sign it. Okay.
Thank you.
I'll put the numbers in the book in the minutes.
Okay. Almost. Okay.
Almost.
So, does a copy of this get filed someplace? How do I identify this in the minutes?
I maybe refer to this, her memo of January 25th, 2017.
Okay.
And then you submit a copy of, a clean copy, of course.
Okay.
Do you have one? I don't think I wrote on mine.
So a copy of this goes with the minutes?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I would think. That way you don't have to.
That way you refer to that. That
I wrote on mine.
Yeah, so I will. I'll send it to her and have her attach it, and that's, okay. We'll approve, when we approve it, we'll want to make sure we have these attached.
Here's
yes.
The
PDF.
Right, it was a...
I don't deal with paper at work.
That would be a... It was an attachment to her email.
Oh, it was in there?
Yeah. Her, that she sent
oh, yeah, this
night.
One. Yeah,
I think the last attachment.
Oh, it's the one that we didn't approve, that I... Did you want that back, Jim?
Okay. I'm out of here.
Yeah. Did you sign two?
I signed three.
Three, okay.
Well, that's right, because we had November, December, and January.
Yeah.
Okay.
Other action we took.
Did you save your truck?
No.
I've seen that truck up there.
Kid locked the engine up there. I'm getting ready to have it all the way.
Oh.
I got to have that done, so.
Oh.
I got to get some stuff out of it.
Oh.
One of those inside lights for the box are $500.
Ooh.
And I just bought that.
So the motor just locked up? Sanders couldn't change another one for you?
I just went and bought a different truck.
Oh, okay. Is it a van type or a truck type?
Van type. Yeah.
So. Those are better to work with anyway, going to delivery and stuff.
Yeah.
I found out that when we do our caskets.
Those trucks are too hot.
Yeah.
Hey, see you guys.
See ya.
Good day. Good night.
What's that monster right there? I noticed that when she gave me mine. Oh my gosh. Because they have these big staples in that staple gun of theirs. Come back up and eat you.
I talked to Navistar a couple times about building a low floor truck, like delivery truck.
Mm-hmm.
If it's front-wheel drive, then you wouldn't need an axle in the back. Mount the wheels to the side of the box and get a floor clear down there. Chrysler's doing that now with their one-ton van.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's a front-wheel drive diesel with a low floor and back. Finally, somebody listened to me.
So there's no housing above the wheels?
So there's no... Well, no, there's wheel wells.
Okay.
But the wheels... There's no solid axle between the wheels. Because there's no axle.
Because
there's no drive line underneath. So you can get the whole floor lower.
So would that... They also have the expansion ceiling up above?
Yeah, I think they sell that too. Okay. They don't have a passenger version. I was looking for passenger version at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you turn it over to Rotary sometime in February? February 16th was the first Monday.
Yeah, probably could.
Some of the city kind of things.
Sure. No, I was supposed to.
Jeff Ward said something about, and you had a conflict.
Street conference.
Yeah, over that.
Yeah, I should be able to.
Okay.
February 6th?
Yeah, that's the first Monday. If you could do that one, that'd be great. Is that we're still at Pizza Hut?
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys knocked us out. We had to go to Wednesday. I'm on the Randolph County, on the Randolph County Corrections.
Oh.
So we have to eat snacks above our, where they work at.
There.
But now we got, now that you guys took over Mondays, we got Wednesdays out there at Pizza Hut.
Oh,
how sick.
I know. I couldn't make it. I called, you know, because I was working.
His name is Broxy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, do you have, on that email, I understood what you're asking about those soldiers and everything that you were thinking about doing it during Mardi Gras. They didn't want to do it earlier than that or nothing like that?
No, they want to do it when there's a lot of people.
Okay.
Understandably. If it doesn't fit,
it would fit me.
Yeah, building back on the market.
It's a window.
I thought it
we open now.
It could be a little microbrewery or something.
I'd love to have an office on the third floor.
We don't start selling.
That would be just a beautiful view.
Yeah.
I mean, huge open room.
Yeah,
all those
rooms. And one of the dates of March.
But I wouldn't know what
you guys have that set where
it's already set. And it's
downtown residents.
First weekend.
And Winchester doesn't attract.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Is
that one of you?
No.
Yeah, I think that one. Other side of the work. Here, I've got a calendar.
Okay.
I thought time would be a quick meeting, guys.
Even doing that
study. It was quick, huh?
Yeah. I don't think I'd want to do that study.
All right, it's October.
Until you've got the property.
Yes.
We could turn this into $300,000.
Right.
You got a lot more work to do to get from.
Yeah, if you can control the property, then that might be worth
talking the 7th doing it, at 1 o'clock, so it'd be right after dinner.
And just building downtown
are right, right, and stuff.
Because I like to buy a building. So I've got an office in Fort Wayne. It's small.
And there is
2,000 square feet.
A family that can bring their portable.
But I looked at buying a building
up there,
and everything. And there's nothing downtown for like less than $1 million. Dad bought his building for $35. It's 20 years ago, but
the east, probably I'd appreciate it. I mean, it's
the building.
He's getting ready. Is he still?
And
he opens a little later every day, closes a little earlier every night.
That way you can work at the other
thing.
Yeah. That make it a big deal.
You can't make money in menswear.
All you have to do is ask the courthouse if you can use the
He's got a deal with
entrance. Not for the restrooms, but just the east side.
Yeah. Renting from him.
Yeah.
And she plans to buy it.
They can come up with a thing
that
I can help you find a.
That'd be good, I guess, sir.
The swimming pool won't be using it.
I can.
That you could bring out just for the show. That was
Christine's.
Your little Cox.
Cox, is that right?
Yeah,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Christina.
But I want to put it in our Mardi Gras
Mark Lamb's daughter.
that right? Am I thinking that right?
So that would bring them good for the people. That would, and then the parade. Then the parade's at 5.
Perfect. They
can be in the parade.
Yes, that's right. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
All right. Okay. So anyway, now I answered your question.
Yes.
I'll call him later tomorrow. Okay. I'm going to try to go with a different lease. Is that all?
Oh, no, probably not. I forgot to do that.
Okay.